does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, some racing, some soccer, some baseball. Another busy, busy night. Glad you're with us, and we're glad that the man himself is back, our scoreboard anchor star, Network Indiana's Corbin Lingenfelter.
Coach, it is great to be with you and Jay Sodge on this Saturday night. It's been a busy week for Indiana sports. Let's start off with the Colts draft. So on Friday night, they addressed the wide receiver and offensive line position. And with the 52nd overall pick, they took Adonai Mitchell, a wide receiver out of Texas, highly coveted according to Chris Ballard.
Excited to get AD. Very, very talented young man. We got good, really good connections at Texas and, you know, felt good. We went down there, Shane and Jim Bob, and the group went down and spent a lot of time with them. And so we feel really good about him. Very talented young man.
Ballard on the Colts YouTube page. Other picks from today included Tanner Bortolini, Anthony Gold, Jalen Carlisle, Jalen Sampson, Micah Abraham, and Jonah Laualu. And then in MLB scores tonight, the Reds win 8-4 over the Phillies. Cardinals win 7-4 over the Mets. And the Red Sox put up 17 unanswered runs to win 17-0 over the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs gave up 21 hits in this game. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad you could join us for a busy Saturday night on Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Corbin Lingenfelter, welcome back. I haven't heard that voice in a while. It's been a while since you've been with us, hasn't it?
It's been a few weeks, Coach, but I'm glad to be back with you and everybody here on Network Indiana tonight.
Well, I've missed you because I think you have the greatest voice in our building, without question. All right, so let's. I know you're squeezed on the updates, so tell me a little bit more about the Colts draft. I think they got a steal on this wide receiver from Texas. I think this is a, from all of the, you do your research and you look at him. Number one, he's coming in with a huge chip on his shoulder, which I think is always good. And secondly, he's enormously talented. So walk me through this day. Overall, I think they have to be pleased with how it went.
I think so too. You know, the two biggest positions, according to Rick Venturi, over the last couple days during the draft coverage with the Colts was, you know, addressing wide receiver help and getting another cornerback. And Indianapolis went out. They went and got their wide receiver yesterday who had a first-round grade, according to Venturi, last night. He was surprised he was still there at 52 for them to take. He's a stellar player. He's got great fundamentals. You know, there were some reports in the pre-draft process that maybe he's got some – I guess they worded attitude issues or something like that. I never saw anything like that personally. But,
right.
You know, there's that clip of Chris Ballard going around addressing those things all over
social media. It's a colorful clip,
media.
Quite frankly.
It's very colorful. I mean, it's definitely like a what you would think a coach would say, even
right.
though he's a general
right.
manager. But, you know, then they go and they address the defense today, getting Jalen Sampson and Micah Abraham, a corner and a defensive back, which I think Abraham will probably be more of that safety position just from the
right.
short film I've seen on him. But Sampson could be a very good depth corner for you. And, you know, there's still a lot of time to go until you get to training camp. So there's still some guys out there that you could go after in terms of free agency or things of that nature.
There's a whole lot of time, and it's just it's an interesting time when you're putting together your roster and people, you know, now you can start to get excited. OTAs will start soon, and they'll start to do things and all these other designations, but they'll be in the building, they'll be working out, and the enthusiasm begins to ramp up because I think, quite frankly, there are plenty of reasons to be optimistic about this group.
There is. I mean, you've got Leiatu Leiatu that you drafted 15th overall in the first round, one of the best pass rushers last season in college football. Yes, he had that neck injury, but he's 2 years removed and was medically cleared. And as you know, the pros in these draft processes, they're going to poke, prod, and stick you wherever they can to figure out what your medicals are like. And they said he's good to go. So you got him. You've got Mitchell now. You've got some offensive line depth. You know, that was a big thing. You got a lot of guys that are getting up there in age. So now you're drafting for possibly the future with a lot of guys who can play anywhere.
Yeah, that's so now what's the schedule from here? Do we know what, you know, it's, you know, you've got all these guys, they'll start to bring people into camp.
Yeah, so you're going to have a rookie sort of mini camp coming up probably within the next 2-3 weeks, I would imagine. And then you've got the team activities. That's going to be sometime around, I think I saw, mid-July. And then training camp will start in August, leading into the preseason.
Be here before you know it. Really be here before you know it. All right, what else? What else is going on in the world of sports? We got racing. We have all kinds of racing, don't we? We got NASCAR and we have IndyCar this weekend. So we've got a busy day tomorrow on the race front, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a really busy day for the gearheads out there. I'm pulling up IndyCar's schedule right now. They are going to be in Alabama in Birmingham tomorrow for the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. I'm sure Brad Huber said a lot last night about that.
Brad Huber was all over it now. You know, he lives for this. He's working tonight. He's such a gearhead. He's working as the track announcer at the Paragon Speedway down in Paragon. So, yeah, he's all in this.
Yeah, and NASCAR is not willing to show me where they're at tomorrow.
They're at Dover.
Dover, yeah. Yes, that's Dover. Right. It's Dover tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of good things. Plus, you've got Pacers Bucks Game 4 coming up tomorrow night as well.
What time is that tomorrow?
That is at 7 o'clock for the first tip.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock for the Pacers. Oh, man.
They're a little nicer than a 5:30 start time on a Friday, so.
You think? Maybe. All right, Corbin Lingenfelter, every 15 minutes and whenever we feel the need to chat it up with him. Thanks, Corbin. I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much. Coming up, short break. We'll come back, talk more. We're glad you're with us. This is the history-making, legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us. Corbin Lingenfelter, scoreboard updates, studio producer Jace Hodge. Jace Hodge from the University of Indianapolis. Let's brag about Jace Hodge. Earlier in the week, an award winner. He won 2 awards at the University of Indianapolis Communications Department. Excellence in television, creative excellence in television. Big-time sports show there at UIndy's television department. Congratulations, Jace. This is big time. I'm happy for you, thrilled for you, frankly. Jace, are you there? Cue up your microphone.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. We can hear you. Congratulations on these awards.
Coach, I think just got himself a caller. So,
okay,
yeah, all
right.
Send my congratulations.
All right, Corbin, got it. I'm trying to brag on the guy, and we're gonna have to postpone that.
He's got a show to do.
Well, he's busy, you know. But still, we want to brag on him, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. You always got to brag on the Greyhounds.
No question. Well, you're a graduate. Did you win those awards when you were there?
I did not. I was always. I don't know where I was at on the list. I'd like to say I was runner-up, but, you know, they never officially told me. So to help myself out, I always said I was runner-up.
Right. Sounds to me like you got cheated. I don't know how else to put it.
I had a lot of good guys, though, that I was competing with.
I got it. All right. So, Corbin, coming up every 15 minutes. We got a lot going on. We got a lot going on tonight. We're going to talk about racing. We're going to talk with – Our good friend Mark James, the voice of the Indianapolis 500. He is in Alabama at Barber Motorsports for that race coming up tomorrow. We'll also talk with Adam Alexander from FS1, who is in Dover, and talk about that. But before we do any of that, let's talk to the man himself, the best at what he does, Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network, also part of the IHSAA Champions Network, Colts Network. What other networks are you a part of, Greg?
I think I'm in network for some doctors through my insurance. I'm attending a Southside networking event on Thursday, so I'm up for another network with, like, the Bammy Bob.
Well, remind me not to ask that question next time. All right, give me some good news about my favorite soccer team.
The good news is the Indy 11 got their first win in 6 weeks, at least in league play. A 2-1 win against North Carolina FC, first home win of the season. North Carolina FC has been a longtime rival of the Indy 11, but they haven't played for the last 5 years. So let me explain. North Carolina FC, when Indy first started, was known as the Carolina Railhawks. They were the first opponent in Indy 11 history in April of 2014. They were the first win in terms of a league match in Indy 11 history in July of 14. The Miracle to Mike in 2016 took place against the then Carolina Railhawks. Both teams went to the USL Championship together in 2018. Indy swept the meetings that year. North Carolina had dropped down to the league below us, to League One, for the last three seasons. They returned to the championship this year, and Indy welcomes them back with a much-needed 2-1 victory.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
At the mic this evening.
Wow. 2-1. 2-1. It must have been with Coach McCauley joining me last night on the show to get a little mojo was the deciding factor in this win.
No doubt about that, Bob. And I think Sean may have given a Bob Lovell-like halftime speech. In other words, I think some paint was peeled on the campus of IUPUI because Sean is always very courteous with his time in talking
right.
with us. And in terms of the going into halftime interview, when I asked him your thoughts in the first 45 minutes, he said, "I thought my team was poor." I'm like, okay, this is going to be an interesting
right.
conversation.
Right.
His team was frankly much better in half number two.
Well, you know what? They have struggled, and we talked about it last night when he joined me. They have, I think, underperformed might be an accurate portrayal. It's a competitive league without question, but you know they have a deep team. They have some veterans, and this is not the start that any of them envisioned.
But yet they got 3 points tonight, and we hope it's a spark for future success for this team, and I think tonight can be a building block for them.
How do they win it? It's a one-goal win. How do they do this?
It's 2 goals in the second half. The first goal scored by the dreaded own goal. Ball ricochets off of a North Carolina defender after a set piece from Jack Blake after some really good service. North Carolina, to their credit, they equalized less than 2 minutes later on a Luis Perez goal. But the winner, Dougie Martinez, getting his third goal of the season. The assist to Callum Chapman Page, again off a set piece from Jack Blake, who has been Indy's best player so far this year. But here is a trend that I think Indy would like to continue. Douglas Martinez has scored 3 times this year, including the Open Cup match. Those have been the 3 wins this season for the Indy 11. That may be a ticket to earning more playing time for the second year player for the Indy 11 from Honduras in terms of Dougie Martinez.
I'm a basketball coach by training and nature, but I can tell you that if my guy's scoring and we win, something I have to factor into the game plan for the next game. All right, you got time to hang on through this short break?
I do.
Talk a little Colts draft. It wrapped up. Another productive day, so we'll talk about that. But it was we got time. Greg Rakestraw will stay with us through this short break. We'll talk about the Colts and their NFL draft on Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Greg Rakestraw rejoins us talking about whatever soccer tonight out at the Michael A. Carroll Stadium on the campus of IUPUI. Big crowd tonight, Greg?
It was. And obviously the news on Thursday was a bit concerning, confusing in terms of what exactly the stadium plan is going to be for Eleven Park and about potentially another group that, that thinks they might be able to bring a Major League Soccer bid. So I kind of thought that, we'd see kind of a rallying of the troops, so to speak. And obviously we did. You know, the Brickyard Battalion has been so dedicated. They, frankly, are older than the actual team itself. That organization was put together before Indy 11 was ever announced back in April of 2013. They were tremendous, as they always are, but the crowd was great, too. And let's face it, we are still very much a, hey, if the weather is great, we're a great entertainment option. I'm not sure the weather was great, but the forecast was largely dry. But I would say we had about 8,000 or 9,000 at our match tonight, which for a Saturday night in April, it's pretty doggone good.
It is a good crowd, without question. Best place to watch soccer. Best campus in the entire state, by the way. I'm certainly biased, but I'm proud of a lot of things I did my time on that campus. But being the AD when we started men's soccer was pretty impressive, frankly.
And it's great to see that now, you know, we have that facility, which obviously was built for track and field first. So it's a little quirks to it in terms of the pitch being east and west instead of north and south. But what the Indy 11 have done in terms of making that place home for eight of the last 11 years has given that facility a second life, you know, from being, you know, built for the National Sports Festival and for the Pan American Games and the Olympic Trials of FloJo back in 88. You know, now this generation thinks of it as a soccer facility, and I think that's pretty cool.
When I have time, I'll tell you all the battles that were fought over making that a reality. All right, Colts, wrap it up in the draft. Give me the 10,000-foot view, if you can, about the draft for the Colts this time around.
Sure. Again, I know you like this phrase, and I thought it was apropos that I used last night. This year is about the micro and not the macro. The larger questions seemingly have been answered. And again, there is the obvious question. Can Anthony Richardson be healthy for as close to 17 games as possible? And what we saw in a small sample size last year, does that extrapolate to 17 or so games this year? We don't know that answer. We're going to find out in September and October and beyond. But because of him being on a rookie deal, because of locking up Jonathan Taylor last fall, because of all the veterans brought back in the month of March, it left you with fewer questions, fewer holes to fill. And again, I'm not sure I would have classified pass rusher with Leiatu Latu going in the first round on Thursday at pick number 15. I don't think that was a glaring need, but I also don't think that's something you can have too much of. Because if you're getting to the quarterback quickly, all of a sudden, everybody else in the field's a better football player for you. They have not, and this is understandable, they're going to have Dwight Freeney every year. You're going to have Robert Mathis every year. They have not had a pass rusher like either of those two since Robert hung him up in 2016 and since Dwight last played for the Colts in 2012. Last year's pass rush was better, but it was done kind of as a group. It was seven or eight sacks from Forrest Buckner, and it was, you know, five or six sacks from Quiddy Pay, and seven or eight from Dio Dangbo, and Kenny Moore, who is as good as a nickelback blitzer as seemingly anybody in the National Football League. So it was truly the, all right, we think there's enough wide receiver depth that you can get a guy in the second round, like they did with A.D. Mitchell out of Texas last night. Go get the best player on the board and one that you know, even if you've got players already under contract in that position, go get the best player that can help you. And if you tell any team, hey, you can get the best pass rusher in the draft with your first-round pick, your team's probably going to be better for it. And so that was the route that Chris Ballard went. In terms of third round and fourth round with Goncalves, the tackle out of Pittsburgh, with the center the Colts took with their first pick on day three today out of Wisconsin, those are depth pieces. And that is planning for the future. And Ryan Kelly is now going to be entering his ninth year with the Indianapolis Colts. He is the last holdover from the Ryan Grigson era. There's still a couple of guys from 2017 that would be kind of still Pagano guys, but all those guys were drafted, you know, on the watch of Chris Ballard. At some point in time, sooner rather than later, you probably think, hey, we need to have a succession plan for Ryan Kelly. Maybe that's who you draft in the fourth round today.
Right.
The tackle draft in terms of Goncalves, maybe he moves inside. Maybe he competes with Will Fries for a spot at the right guard position. He's your insurance policy because Braden Smith's been really good, but he's battled injuries over the course of the last couple of years. His contract is up, I think, after next year. But really what you saw in day three and maybe even in round number three was more of building depth because of, again, the work that has been done in terms of keeping your own. But frankly, the luxury that you have when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal for the next 4 years.
Well, I think, you still have to go out and play, have to win games, but some needs that were specific. Tell me about the wide receiver they took out of Texas. I mean, this, I think, you talk about, you know, the draft, there are certain things that you plan for and get ready for. Sometimes people are available that you didn't necessarily anticipate getting, and I think they were given a gift here.
So A.D. Mitchell is his name. He spent 2 years at Georgia where he kind of saw some limited playing time on back-to-back national champs. When playing for Texas this past year, had much more of a chance, had 55 catches playing for UT. He is 6'2", 205, and he's kind of a, I don't want to say tweener because that's a negative connotation. He's a hybrid. Mm-hmm. He's got a variety of skills, which is really what the Colts need. And again, I think there is a spot there to be the number two guy, to be the outside starter outside of Michael Pittman Jr. Pittman is clearly your one, and he is not just a big play threat. He is also a – Pittman does a little of everything, and that includes blocking, and that is why he is so loved by this Colts front office. He's not just a great player. He's a pretty good leader, too. Downs, the third-round pick from North Carolina last year, was a great slot receiver. I think Pearson, Doolin are guys 4 and 5 – I think Mitchell is that guy that slots in perfectly as a number two receiver.
You got time for one more segment, or do you need to go?
I can hang with you for one more.
You're the best. We're back with Greg Rigstrom.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.